You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your reader, Carmen.
I'm your crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm Gordy. I am now, I think, an expert in the flat Earth theory.
So just did a bit of brushing up on it.
So we haven't seen each other. Well, I've seen Tyler and Tyler seen me in the past week, but we haven't seen Gordy in like a week.
Too busy.
Being in
California. Too busy living it up on the West Coast.
So we made up for that with the extra long ramble this weekend. We are currently sitting at nearly 10 o'clock at night with 3 ramble recordings and 0 episodes, so it's going to go well.
It's 9:45.
It's yeah, it's
I'm also close. The resident rules lawyer.
Well, resident rules lawyer, would you like to give us the rules for the show?
Explain the rules to our life?
Wait, can I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your
can
job.
Can I make rules for your life?
I mean, we wouldn't know otherwise. And you're the one that knows them.
And the show?
You know what? I'm curious to see where this goes. Yes.
Make rules for the show?
Why don't you start?
None of us can speak English.
Sherman cares by the spot of
has to be a real language.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's where I lose.
Okay. Do you want this to continue?
I kind of want to know what rules you see for our lives. What would Gordy life coach us? Give us your best life coaching.
My best life coaching?
Yeah.
For free?
Just a free sample.
Yeah, maybe a taste. What are we putting our money into?
What do you put your money into? Oh, man.
Well, when we hire you, I mean.
Now, I'm on the spot.
Okay, how would you fix up Tyler? One piece of advice. Fix Tyler. Then do me.
Chakras.
Which ones?
All 7.
Oh, well, all right. I got work to do.
Does he need them?
You do need them. They're vital. You do them all at once, though. Some mystics will tell you, like, you gotta do this one, and then the energy flows down. Don't do that. It's better if you do it. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. All 7, one line.
Man, full chakra blast.
And the energy shoots all the way down, like, toe to head, and you have to ground yourself on something.
It's like having different days for different muscles.
It's like getting electroshock therapy.
But from your body?
But from inside.
The electroshock was inside you this whole time. Fix my life.
Fiber.
That's probably true.
Done.
Okay, so what do we actually do on the show when we're slightly more focused than we are tonight?
So Carmen is going to read a fairy tale to Tyler and I. She has chosen one that we have never heard before. She's chosen one outside of Disney's purview, one that is a little bit more on the edges of the folklore spectrum. That's going to be a little bit strange. And then we are going to address all of the conflicts, all of the plot holes that we see therein.
We're a fringe cast.
Are we?
We're on the edges.
I would call us a fringe cast.
The bleeding edges.
We are not the mainstream media.
We are definitely pirate radio.
This is a hacked broadcast that we paid to host.
We hacked their website with monthly payments.
With like $12 every month or something. And so can you.
Those suckers.
they'll never know.
So between Gordy heartlessly abandoning us for the West Coast, uh-huh, and you bringing us back to the Monkey King saga, it's been like 3 weeks since I last presented you with a tale.
Feeling rusty?
I don't remember what options we had left, but I think we had 3, used 1, so I'm going to choose 2.
Okay, that sounds fair to me.
And I don't recall if these were in the original set, but you can go to France and hear The Maiden in the Tower, or to Scotland and hear The Stolen Bairn and the Cid.
Stolen what?
Bairn.
And the baby. And the what?
And the Cid.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Those are my people.
Wee bairn. I thought you were Irish.
Well, we're both. We're like really all of those peoples mixed together and the Germans.
I was the peoples who'd conquered your peoples.
Which ones?
The Nords.
You'll have to be more specific.
The Nords. Okay. Nordic folk.
There might be some of that in there too.
We bounced around. There's a hall in Dublin that has my family's last name on it.
Everything in Dublin has my last
name. Yeah, you pretty much own Dublin. you should go back to Dublin.
Not impressed.
I'm the king of Dublin.
So you're saying that the Murphys had a fun orgy and they invited the Germans to it?
I would say the Murphys were doing their thing and some people from Scandinavia
invited themselves.
Kind of stole the hottest of us away. Anyway, what are we doing?
You guys got
to choose
one of those.
Oh, we have to choose a story.
we have to choose our champion.
Well, do we want to do that one? Because what's the other one?
France.
A French maiden in a tower.
We've had bad luck in France.
Yeah.
France is dicey.
France is associated with certain authors and her ideas and feelings.
They probably did permeate from beyond.
Or should we take the opportunity to let France redeem themselves?
That's a good point.
To show a new face. Because I don't know if we've done any non-Dolnois.
We have. We did the duck one.
I still think we should give them a chance to redeem themselves, given the spread we've had from France.
Let's go by baseball rules.
What?
Three strikes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Dolnois, strike.
Duck.
Like the duck shit story. Strike.
It wasn't the duck shit story. It was the one where the duck was basically evil and looking for its money.
Oh, that was kind of good.
The creepy duck singing at the king.
Okay, well, I stand by it. Yeah, let's see. Let's, France, put your best foot forward. Let's see what you have.
So, we're going maiden in the tower?
France, put your third foot forward.
Is this, what's her name? Hold on. Wait.
The wheel's, Reputa.
The wheel's spinning.
Reputa the Buddha.
Cinderella's wrong. Rasputin's wrong. Rapunzel.
That's the one.
This is type 310, the Rapunzel type. Okay. This is sourced from 100 Favorite Folk Tales by Stith Thompson. So this book was given to us by our listener, Jenna, who we dearly love. And we also recently received another book from our listener, Ryan Hall, who gave us the Arne Thompson classification, like textbook thing, which I have started working through.
Was I here for that?
I don't think you were gone. I think you've missed a lot.
I mean, I know Ryan.
I know you know him, but it's been an event.
I remember Ryan.
It's hard to forget Ryan.
At least.
Mountains have moved in your absence.
But in reading that, it was the first time I had read the first name of the Thompson and Arne Thompson. So guess what? Jenna gave us a book edited by the Thompson of Arne Thompson. So Stith Thompson is the Thompson.
Who's
titular Arne? Thompson.
I don't remember.
We don't know.
No. I've got his first name in that other book too, but I don't think we've come across any of his work.
Who's the governor of California for a while?
So I'm wondering.
Jerry Brown?
I'm wondering now how many of the actual folklorists in the audience have just been waiting for that ball to drop.
For the name?
For us to notice.
Because we've read a Stith Thompson tale already, at least one. So, yeah, just probably quietly.
It's a long wait for a train that may never come.
If
you're a real folklorist out there.
Yeah, waiting for us to catch up.
I think we're pretty clear about our mission statement.
We're going to mess some folklore up. This was a French literary tale from the 18th century, translated from the Revue des Traditions Populaires.
Well, alrighty.
You folks ready?
I am ready.
Are you ordering conspiracy t-shirts, or are you ready?
I'll say both.
Okay. You got a wish list going?
I do have a wish list going. Is that appropriate to buy with our Patreon money, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Speaking of, before we actually get into the tale, at least Tyler and I are going to be at PodCon, because we went ahead and bought our tickets. We have not been officially invited, nor do we have plane tickets or a hotel yet, but we have tickets to PodCon, so in December, the
We'll be in Seattle.
Two of the three of us, if not three of the three of us, because you're still trying to figure out your vacation time, right?
Yeah. I need to figure out what days I can take when. How many days is it?
So
it's a Saturday, Sunday. I might take Friday, Monday off.
That was my plan.
So okay. We can like fly in Friday, fly out Monday.
I could probably do that. I think I could. I can't like 100% say, but for now, let's assume that I can make it.
I think the tickets are at most only $20 more expensive, not through the Patreon.
Indiegogo.
Oh.
Or Indiegogo. Whichever. Yeah, whichever one.
Whichever.
But yeah, at least three of us, or two of us will be there, maybe all three. So if you want to go to PodCon and meet us, you should check that out. And
or if
also,
we have anyone listening in Seattle.
Yeah.
That'll be our first time in Seattle, so.
Yeah, give us suggestions on what to go to, food to eat. And I don't know if they still have this up on their Indiegogo page, but they were having a document where you could recommend podcasts to be an official guest. So if you would like us to be officially invited as opposed to the creepy lurkers who show up with t-shirts or whatever that we're wearing, send those. I'm going to make us t-shirts.
Yeah, it's the plan.
Yeah. Send in a document saying why they should know we exist.
We'll put that in the description or something.
Sure. Okay.
Or so, tweet it, or both.
That's business, now pleasure. Let's go.
Pleasure.
Okay, so once there was a gentleman and his wife, and they had been married for quite a long time, but had no kids in spite of a wish for many kids. Which is, I think, an ill-placed wish, personally.
Sorry, what?
Okay, put the conspiracy theory t-shirt shop away.
There's like three good ones. I don't know which one.
Okay, you can put it on Twitter after this for a vote. For now, telling you a friggin' story.
Okay,
sit down.
Go. Okay.
Gentleman and wife, married, wanted tons of kids for reasons. Did not have any.
Yeah.
For the same reasons.
Folklore.
Yeah.
Because karma.
Because we need a setup.
They're concerned. And instead of seeing, say, a doctor, they're advised to make a pilgrimage to have some kids. Because nothing gets...
Ooh. By whom?
Them.
The doctor?
They advise each other?
I don't know. The nebulous they...
Okay.
That run the world.
To where?
They go on a pilgrimage to a place far from home.
Mecca?
Sure. That's the only information we have is that it's far away.
That's a pilgrimage that people make in real life.
Can you just make a pilgrimage to a place? Like, just a random one?
I think you can. Like, if it has some significance to you, sure.
So I could make a pilgrimage to Voodoo Donuts?
I made a pilgrimage to an Icelandic church.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I make a pilgrimage to a donut shop?
I guess. You might be kind of watering down the potency of what a pilgrimage is across the board, but I think you can.
I don't think they're going to validate your parking for that.
Well, can you pilgrim in a car? Like, does it count as a pilgrimage if you drove there? Because in that case, I have done an cross-country pilgrimage to the Redwood Forest.
Does pilgrimage mean footsies?
Foots, like,
only.
You mean like the root?
What?
Is pill or grim or both?
Yeah, like we're...
Is that the Latin word for footsies?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Greek, isn't
for
it?
For trekums.
It's Greek. Yeah. For what? Don't look it up. Don't look it up. We don't need to know.
Fine. We'll let that be a mystery. And those of our listeners
someday
who know Latin...
Someday you'll realize that my questions are never legitimate.
Or Greek.
There's not questions that need answers.
This whole show is rhetorical.
So where would you go on a pilgrimage if kids was your thing and not religious epiphany?
Disney.
That seems like a pilgrimage for the opposite.
If you wanted to have kids?
That's the trial.
Have you been to Disney?
Yes.
Because
it's discouraging.
Yeah, because...
Exactly. That's... That is trial by fire.
You're trying. Oh, I was gonna say you're trying to like save their nightlife.
Okay, but. So if you pilgrimage to Disney as a married, unchild couple,
you will stay that
and
way.
You leave Disney not thinking that, damn, a sterilization clinic would do such good business right outside the doors of Disney.
I was going to say...
Then you will get kids.
I was going to say Planned Parenthood. But they might not have that in France.
That's also terribly sensible for our show.
Yeah, that's almost a real answer.
Shut up, Gordy. Go to Planned Parenthood. They can talk you through your options.
They can plan a parenthood for
you. Also, their hashtag is peepee. Very good. Very good hashtag.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag peepee.
Okay, so they go on this pilgrimage to a place far from home. And on the journey back, the woman becomes pregnant.
Cool. So like, that's like the normal way.
Maybe. Maybe all they needed was a vacation to spice up their love life.
That'd do it.
For the audience, why don't you explain how babies are made?
Me?
Fairy babies.
One of you.
Tyler.
Just like, let's walk everybody through.
I want to know how much crime you can stuff into
them. What that looks like. What is...
Listen, this podcast is a joint effort. All three of us are going to bullet point how this works.
Yeah. As, like a round robin style? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Point one, obviously the pilgrimage. I'm not going to, like, that one's obvious. So that one's not mine.
Yeah.
Point two, looking at each other like, yo.
Okay.
Point three, wash off all the stickiness from your pilgrimage to Disney World.
Point four, the woman lays her eggs.
Is that the whole point?
So I've read. I've seen big boy websites. I know about egg laying. Uh-huh.
That was a secret for our eyes only, Cordy. Only women are supposed to know about this. This is what feminism is about.
Is that point four?
That's point four.
Okay, point five, the husband inspects them for weight and sheen.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm too mad at Gordy. He saw Wonder Woman. He knows our secrets now.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Then how did you find out about the eggs?
Is there an egg scene in Wonder Woman?
It's a woman movie. Of course there's an egg scene. You're not allowed to see it.
I learned it from a nature documentary.
Two things I know about women movies, because I have only seen a few. In secret and by cover of night.
You mean
there are egg scenes and there are shopping scenes.
These are the
well,
movies.
We got a nest.
These are the movies that the men are not allowed into.
We got to make the nest for the eggs.
The ones that have women only screenings.
Remember the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo. Remember those poor men in the Alamo who had to wait a day to see Wonder Woman.
Who had to wait
a movie they were probably not interested in anyway.
Didn't have to wait a day. Had to wait 2.5 hours for another screening.
A movie they were probably going to hate watch.
That one was the secret part of Wonder Woman where they show you the egg thing so the females can really like jive with her because that's how we psych our cycles.
There's deleted scenes for the egg sequence.
Where yes. Gal Gadot makes cinema history by being the first woman to lay eggs on screen in a movie.
She's not the first, just the first in a major motion picture that men
superhero.
Could... Yeah.
The first in an action sequence.
She just shoots them at people.
Like Banjo-Kazooie.
It's part of the woman power.
Yeah, that did a lot for
feminism.
Sex ed, I think. Really off the rails.
Point six.
No, I'm still mad. Gordy should know our secrets.
Point six.
The male releases his cloud of spores.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mushroom?
After they both hold their breath. So they don't inhale any
right.
of them.
Yeah.
You don't want one of those growing inside you. It's very bad for your health.
Am I finishing?
Is that the whole point? I don't know when your point is.
Well, then they run out of the room.
Okay, yeah. Point seven, they wait 62.5 hours.
Yeah.
For gestation.
Yeah.
Point eight, at this point it's safe to return to the room because all the spores have settled and died and the woman settles on the eggs. Giving her body heat to them.
And that's it. They hatch.
Yep.
And she carries them around on her back.
Right. Point nine,
and
they
in her
hatch.
Pouch.
Point 10, they are on her back for 12 and a quarter hours.
Well, you guys missed the part where, like, when they're little, they stay in the pouch. They have to get strong enough to cling to the pack.
We're not allowed to see the movies.
You're not allowed it's to see covered. Allowed to see the egg part.
This is covert research that we had to do.
Everything
to find
past
out
the
much.
Egg is fine.
Usually, the men are blindfolded for this.
It's right, true. Like that's why we do it in the dark.
I don't know if you have extra points in your book or not, but my book says point 11. The teen son is now entrusted the farm. That's the end of childhood.
You don't have the part about the throwing the baseball in the backyard?
No, that's not in there.
It's a very economically driven book.
All right.
It's Hollywood nonsense.
It's by the guy who wrote Freakonomics.
Well, we solved childbirth.
How long is this story? just out of curiosity.
It's, normal length, but we're pushing it too long.
Okay.
Okay, so she's pregnant, they're walking home, she notices a beautiful garden filled with magnificent fruit, and she's got pregnancy cravings, which she unleashes at her husband full force.
Pickles!
And she wants to eat all the fruit and gather it herself.
Pickles are fruit, right?
Yeah, they start that
way. Tree bearing?
Pickle?
Yeah.
Well, it's a cucumber.
So it starts as a fruit, and then it becomes a fruit brined.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so husband says, oh no, what if we're seen? And the wife says, well, that would be just too bad, huh? Now let me go down and I'm going to get some fruit.
So she's secretly into that.
Yeah.
She wants to get caught.
That's why they only got pregnant when they were on a pilgrimage. She couldn't do it when they were in their bedroom.
Where it's allowed.
Right. So she went to the garden, she ate the fruit, and stole some more for the journey. And when she was busy with the fruits, a pretty little woman appeared and asks, hey, dude, what's up? Why you taking my stuff?
Fair.
The wife explained the whole pregnancy craving situation. The good woman says, hey, man, I'm not going to judge, but just make me the godmother of your child. By the way, your child is going to be a daughter.
Okay. How?
Did they want to know the sex?
Well,
were they saving that?
For a special reveal party?
Or letting the child decide?
It's true. They could have been saving. They could be really progressive parents.
Well, you don't. The child can't choose their sex until they're 18. Then they can start
doing
that stuff.
What bullet point is that?
Gender's different.
I feel like my book is missing a lot of pages.
Well, sex is born. Gender's the one they choose.
Yeah, gender's the fluid one. Sex is the one you have to change with surgery.
Right. So at 18, they choose their gender after a period of self-reflection in the woods.
And their name.
That would be cool if you could, like, if you had a child name and then you shed it into an adult name that you choose yourself.
But it has to be in the middle of it. Like, you have to find an adult name that contains the child name in the middle and makes sense from beginning to end. Like, can you slip Peter into the middle of a name that has other letters around it?
Quipeteron.
Quipeteron. My adult name, Quipeteron, as the coyote told me on my vision quest. I am now a woman.
Okay, so the wife takes her fruit back to the carriage. She tells her husband, hey, the woman did catch me. So good call on that. I did promise her that she'd be the godmother of the child, but don't worry. I'm not going to keep that promise, obs.
We don't live here. What's she going to do?
So I guess they get home or whatever, because the day comes for the childbirth. She has a daughter as predicted, the daughter gets baptized, and she did not invite the good woman who gave her some fruit.
Big mistake.
And had magical knowledge of her daughter's gender or sex.
Big mistake.
Or both, should they happen to align. So the good woman is offended by this, or upset by it, and she goes to see her two fairy sisters. And she says, hey, guys, this bitch stole my fruit. She had a child, and then she didn't make me the godmother like she promised to.
Who got it?
She should be punished. I don't know, like Nancy.
Who's she talking to?
Her fairy sisters.
Yeah.
You're talking about Casserole Nancy?
Yeah, friggin' Casserole Nancy. Casserole's the only thing she knows to make. Makes them for every occasion. So, I think this mother should be punished and have her child stolen away from her.
What do you Tribunal of Fairies think?
So they agree. And good. They leave with a big dog.
What? Excuse me?
It's baby season.
They leave with?
Yeah, they take a big dog with them to this woman's house.
It's just okay. A big old bloodhound.
They arrive at the woman's door and they ring the door, but no one's willing to open up for this.
Because there's a big dog
lady
outside.
With this giant dog.
What kind of dog do you think it is?
Mastiff.
This is a Beethoven prequel.
St. Bernard?
Is that what Beethoven was?
Beethoven was a St. Bernard.
Yeah.
New.
That was my guess.
What is it called?
Newfoundland?
Newfoundland? That's not an easy word. Isn't it Newfoundland? But it's Newfoundland. But it's spelled Newfoundland.
Just slur it.
You know, yeah. I'm like the bear dog.
Newfoundland.
What if it was a mixed breed of St. Bernard, Mastiff, and Newfoundland?
Does it have three heads?
Yes, it's a Cerberus.
It's a Cerberus.
It's a Cerberus, and one of them drools a lot. Well, two of them drool a lot. I don't know how the Newfoundland does.
Perpetually.
Doesn't?
Perpetually.
Okay, then all three of those dogs are incredibly drooly.
This is the dog. I gotta make sure this is the right dog.
Where is that Beethoven movie? It's like a Halloween Beethoven movie where a mad scientist chimeras him.
Yes.
With other animals.
He just
brings floods wherever he goes.
Those dogs secrete more than any animals I've ever seen. Our vice principal in high school, one of them, owned like five. And she would let some of the special needs students kind of like take them around the classes, which is a nice little program. But they smell terrible. So you have like this giant dog just oozing onto the floor in the middle of a classroom.
Like a slug dog?
Yeah, it is like a giant hairy slug.
Okay, so when no one opens the door, she orders the dog to open all the doors and carry off the child, which does.
In its three powerful jaws.
And then the good woman tells the wife while the dog is like...
just tossing the baby from head
to
head. Well,
opening their locked doors as a dog.
Well, yeah, that's why they brought the dog, because he has the lock-picking tools.
Yeah, so the dog opens the first door, and while he's working on the other doors to get to the baby, the good woman is telling
he's got those high sleight of hand checks.
The mother that, hey, you should maybe keep your promises next time, because now you're never going to see your child again.
And then she flips a plate of eggs off the table.
Yeah, she flips the table, drops the mic, and rides her giant Cerberus off into the sunset with the baby. So they leave with the baby, and they reach home, and all of the fairies of the country, not just the two sisters, assemble, and she was made the godmother to the child by, I guess, power of fairy assembly, who she named Parcelet. She gave her the power of singing so that she could be heard for 7 leagues in all directions, which is, if any of you have ever lived with someone with a drum set, a terrible idea. She doesn't want to sleep ever again in her life. And the other fairies gave her all sorts of magical gifts so that she would be beautiful and have many charms, etc., etc., etc. And then they gave her a nurse and reared her with all of the best stuff.
So all in all, probably an improvement.
Yeah, she's leading a better life than this old man and woman of... they're a gentleman and wife. Okay, so some fortune. Indeterminate.
Well... I mean, they're just going to pack their things on and go on another pilgrimage.
Yeah. Do it out in a field again, because that's the only way she can get into it.
It's a very...
surrounded by fruit.
Yeah, there's a very specific part of the earth that has, like, just the right amount of magnetism to make it work.
So when Parcelet grew up, she was so beautiful that all the gentlemen would stop to look at her. And she sang so well that everyone gathered to hear her. Not that they need to gather if she can be heard 7 leagues off.
But, like, that's that live concert mentality. Where, loud as it may be, You gotta get in that front row.
So this princess is constantly...
Gotta be in the splash zone.
Constantly surrounded by oglers and mosh pits.
Yeah.
Like, wherever she goes.
Just a bunch of mosh boys.
It's like, men crowd surfing to get a peek at her. Okay, so the good woman notices that this, like, mosh pit ogling thing is becoming kind of a problem, and she says, "Hey, guys, it is absolutely necessary that we can find Parcelette in a tower, or someone is going to carry her off one of these days." So they put her in a tower 3 leagues from the house where she grew up, and in that tower she had everything that could be useful and agreeable, including a parrot for company.
Yeah, why not? Goose talks.
So, the godmother, when she comes to bring stuff, says, "Parcelette, my dear, throw me your beautiful hair, and that would be the password to open the door." So they heard about Rapunzel and thought...
Yeah, I kind of appreciate that subversion.
Thought, yeah.
All right, well, we'll take that, but better.
So, like, no numbers, no mixed case, no symbols.
No secret knock.
No, just...
That seems like a weak password.
We'll have to enter it into a password thing and see what score they give us.
I think it's long enough. It just needs variance.
Yeah. Is it case sensitive? Well,
if it is, then the Parcelette will do it.
What's that?
Parcelette, my dear. And Parcelette will be capitalized. And you could throw a comma in there.
I guess. Me too. Yeah.
Are symbols allowed?
You just, like...
Is it only alphanumeric?
Like... Pat Arcelet. Okay, so a prince was in the neighborhood one day, as they do, and he was about 7 leagues away, as they are.
In parentheses, it just says, lost.
Probably. So he's about 7 leagues away when he hears her singing, and he says to himself, "Who is that who is singing so nicely? I must find out." Like you do.
I forgot what I was doing anyway. Time for a new thing.
I'm never going to find home.
It's a lost cause.
So he learned somehow the direction from whence it came. Because it just says he learned about the direction.
He sniffed the air.
I guess so. He licked his thumb and felt which way the wind was coming. And then he asked around whose voice it was. And he was told it was a princess who was confined in a tower. And he decides... That sounds up my alley. I'm gonna go see if I can talk to her.
Sounds like a party I could crash.
So when he was walking around the tower, he saw the good woman who brought her some food, and he heard the secret password, wrote it down in case he somehow forgot that password.
So
that's fine. That's prudent.
Kind of to the point of our previous discussion of it being a weak password. He still has to write it down anyway.
He is like, a prince. Oh. They're not known for their brains.
I probably would too, just in case. You never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And so when the good woman left, he walks up and says the same password. Parcelette believed him to be the godmother having forgotten something and opened the door.
Because they sound the same.
I guess so. Maybe yeah. he has a high voice and she has kind of a low voice, and so they kind of meet. In the middle.
He has a high old woman voice.
Is that parrot going to come into play?
I don't know, Tyler.
Vis-a-vis passwords.
We're not to the end of the story.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful. If you can get a hold of that parrot, you could learn a lot of things.
So she saw the young man enter. I don't know how she, like...
He who controls the parrot.
Controls, like, the password history.
Controls the cradle of life itself.
Okay, so she sees the young man enter, so I don't know if she, like, has a key fob or something to unlock the door so she doesn't have to get up for it. She wants to escape, but doesn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he saw her, he, of course, becomes so deeply in love with her that he would not leave.
Is that what that means?
And told her that if she would just follow him, he would make her a queen.
That doesn't track. That doesn't track.
Don't go to the second location.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't go to the second location. This is
why she has a parrot to record these conversations.
Yeah, it's not even a real parrot. It's one of those parrots from the 90s, the like stuffed parrot that you could put the recordings on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those, not real. So she was tired of the tower, and she was tired of being alone with the parrot, so she says, yeah, sure, why not? And she promises to go along with him the next day. So the good woman comes again to bring some dinner, and Parcelet hid the young man behind the curtain. But the parrot kept saying, Godmother, lover hidden there. Godmother, lover hidden there.
Subtle.
Mm-hmm.
The godmother asked Parcelet what the parrot was on about, and she said, oh, godmother, he only says what I teach him. And I got real bored that day.
And taught him a lot of swears.
So the good woman leaves, suspecting nothing, and Parcelet and the man leave also. But as she was leaving, something was bothering the good woman in the back of her head. And she gets to thinking that maybe the parrot was telling her something important.
Maybe that parrot's on to something.
And it would be a good idea to go find out for certain. So she returns to the tower, goes back up, and calls up. She goes back to the tower, calls the password, no one answers. So she has to climb to the top, and she sees Parcelet leaving on the arm of a young man. So, in her anger, she strikes with the magic wand that I guess she's just always had with her.
The Elder Wand.
Parcelet becomes as hideous as she once was beautiful, with all of her gifts disappearing.
Interesting.
And the prince goes, yeah, I remembered I had a thing. I gotta go.
The young man doesn't know what to say when he sees her change so much. And then she saw herself and said to him, sorry, dude, I can't go further because I see that my godmother in all her anger. So I have to go back and apologize. And just as she said this, the young man fell dead.
What?
And she went back to her godmother and begged pardon.
He died. But how?
He died of ugliness or magic?
He died from looking at her, or did the grandmother kill him? Or is it unrelated?
Where'd the bullet come from?
We'll discuss this in a second. So when she begged pardon, all of her gifts were returned to her. The godmother pardoned her, and she remained with the godmother, but they did leave the tower. So, compromise.
That's good.
Later on, she married a rich prince. But she never did know her parents. The end.
Good. Good.
How you gentlemen like this take on Rapunzel?
I don't.
I feel like France should be able to give us, like, a nice story. I think they have it in them. With their history and their people and their sensibilities.
This is our new goal, is to find an actual nice tale, not a horror story from France.
Do we have any idea when this one was collected?
The dawn of time.
Is it
prehistory.
Is it a contemporary of Del Noir? Because I can imagine authors of the time just being intimidated.
It was in the 1700s, so I think, yeah, contemporary. It was pulled from a 1700s.
Like, how do you look at that output and go, like, what do I have to offer? This woman has everything in every story.
She has, like, six stories in one story. What do I do?
We're just going to write Rapunzel fan fiction.
And I guess I'll Game of Thrones it a bit.
I'd like to see that more. Game of Thrones fairy tales.
I mean, they would all just end roughly the same way.
With Ned Stark dying?
Just in a little more graphic detail.
Spoilers, book one, if you haven't read it by now, that's your fault.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. Even I've read book one.
It's been around for over 20 years. Okay, well, here goes the music.
And we're back.
Because we needed to do it. Sometimes it's a nebulous break.
Because we just get so mad.
And somebody just has to institute law.
Someone does.
Someone does. I do, because I'm the editor. And I make that call. I mean, it's an improvement, isn't it? This story.
Is it?
If you look at France's portfolio thus far.
You mean on France, not on the source material.
I mean on France. I mean, is Rapunzel that interesting of a story, though?
I mean, the original one, she goes blind and has twins.
I feel like there's a lot more going on.
In this one?
No.
In the other one?
Yeah.
I don't know that I have read the original Rapunzel.
Well, maybe that's something that we have to do on here.
I'm basing this off of whatever I read as a kid, plus some clips from Tangled.
Just clips?
I haven't seen Tangled.
Just the clips.
I was going to say because I know the story, but apparently I don't.
Well, I don't think it would teach you, to be fair.
Right. Yeah, I've seen clips from Tangled. Like short ones.
Sure.
I didn't go looking for them.
Just the best of.
Sometimes that's how I watch Disney movies. Like, just show me the highlight reel. What were the jokes? Yeah, I'll fill in.
Go on YouTube and just type, what do I need to know?
Get me up to date, Google. That's a good service. I think that's a valuable service. Like, if you've missed kind of like just a week of pop culture news and stuff, there should be, like, somebody should make like a 3-minute video. It says, like, this is everything that happened. Here are the good movies. Here's the thing that you need to see. This is Wonder Woman laying the egg.
How do you feel about a 22-minute video?
About all of that?
Yeah.
That's TV length.
Well, that's what I mean. Because MTV used to do that. It was called Best Week Ever.
Did they? Oh.
It was literally that.
But what happened to it?
I don't know. Nobody cared anymore.
Oh, well. Business plan out the window. How long have we been going?
We are 41 minutes.
Oh, that's way better than I thought.
Yeah. Well, we did spend a significant amount of time on Flat Earth, so it has distorted our view of time.
Yeah. Speaking of...
Are you going to post that Twitter?
Post what?
Those t-shirt options? Eventually.
What do you think the author saw as an improvement on the original story?
I feel like the author sympathized heavily with the witch character in the Rapunzel tale. Because the witch character in here is the good woman. She's not even a fairy, even though she's got a magic wand and two fairy sisters.
She is a fairy. Yeah. But she's portrayed as being like...
She doesn't identify as a fairy.
Like, she's been wronged in this story.
This is the wicked to the Wizard of Oz.
Yes. This is Wicked. We gotta
see it from her perspective.
Rapunzel style.
Yeah. Did anybody do a Wicked for the Good Witch of the North?
She's in Wicked.
But did they do it from her perspective?
She's in it.
But is it from her perspective?
It's from both.
Okay, what about the other two?
To an extent. I don't think we ever learn about them, really. It's been a while since I've seen the show.
Can we cycle through and make a musical about Wizard of Oz from everybody's perspective?
Yeah.
You know, Wicked was a book first, right?
I know.
Okay.
But who thinks of it as
who cares about the book?
I mean,
now there's no songs in it.
Now it's a show. Everybody talks about the play.
Now it's Idina Menzel.
Yeah. Adele Dazeem can sing in all of them. That's fine.
There's a dragon on the stage. If you get the good one.
Excuse me?
I mean, I imagine it's not the same for all productions, but... The Broadway production
had a dragon on
had
stage.
A dragon just on stage as part of the set design.
It's probably fine.
I don't think it did anything. I think it was there for show.
Like you do.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is, I guess, the Wicked of Rapunzel, taken from the witch's perspective primarily. Because in Rapunzel, I don't think the parents ever get Rapunzel back either. After stealing the piece.
Mm-hmm.
But the prince doesn't get shot dead. Or just drop dead.
Yeah, that's a confusing aspect. I'm not entirely sure what happened to him.
She says, I need to beg pardon. And as she says this, his life leaves him.
Was it natural causes? And it's just a coincidence.
Like he had an undiagnosed heart condition?
Yeah. Or scurvy.
Like princes do.
Fatal scurvy.
Probably gout,
And it killed him in that moment?
In that moment.
Aneurysm. Can happen anytime.
Sure.
There's your comforting thought for the evening.
I more meant that his whole life he had been filled with considerable pain, but was too stupid to realize that that was not how life was supposed to be.
Oh.
And was just taken by a disease that he was not familiar with.
I think this good woman is not as good as she is portrayed. So I would believe that she would distance murder a prince.
She's very firm. To prove a point.
She has her view of how the world should be. Which is,
she's got a highway.
Which is fair to her and following her rules, which is usually the mark of a villain.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of lawful evil situation.
Yeah, it's a lawful evil character.
She's got a giant dog, which may or may not have three heads.
It does.
That's our fiction.
It does have them.
That's true.
Canon.
This is an oral medium. Well, this is an audio medium. Folklore is an oral tradition. Right? So when we say it, we add it onto the tradition, whether anybody likes it or not.
Yeah, this is the what the folklore version of this tale, where this fairy witch has a Cerberus.
Not to digress again, but I'm gonna.
Yeah,
we know.
Do you think that there were people like us?
Like
listening?
Like someone
is desperately trying to tell a story.
Dave would tell us the cool tale he just thought of. And then we'd go take and was like, look at this shit.
Yeah, well, no, that's just the three of us in the back, in the middle of his story going, it's got three heads.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
There were 100. Our past lives were just the three of us hanging out yelling at storytellers.
Yeah, we were born hecklers.
We made Shakespeare's life miserable
that's
for a while.
That's a good shirt, too. Yeah, if you want to see us at this pod festival thing.
Yeah, we'll heckle everyone else's stuff too.
Do the forum. When is it again?
December 9th and 10th.
Okay, we can move on. I'm
just thinking about it. Is this a good ending?
That.
Or is it just a lackluster one?
It's fine.
Like, the man who she was going to go with just because she was bored of Tower drops dead, kind of rescuing her from that ending. And then she later marries a different rich guy and she doesn't have to live in the tower after this at all.
Right.
It's kind of, for a fairy tale, it's an empowering ending.
I'd call it fine.
Because she doesn't go with the first man who rescues her.
She goes with the second man.
And she rescues herself by begging pardon, like taking the moment and be like, you know what? I done messed this up.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, sir. I am off to ask forgiveness.
Or, in that moment, does she fall back into the trap that was her life before?
The gaslighting godmother trap?
Right. For a fleeting moment, ugly as she was, I guess, she was free of the obligations and expectations that had been placed on her up until that point. And she was scared, I guess, of that. And
right. True freedom is always very terrifying.
Right. And went back to the old way. She went back to the cave.
Yes. To watch
said,
the shadows.
Lock me up, throw away the key.
And I just want to see these shadows dance on this wall. They're very entertaining.
Find me the richest man.
I think they buried that guy, or is there just a prince rotting in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, where were they? Was that just outside of the tower?
It was a tower out, like, a ways away from the house, I think. 3 leagues away from the house.
What time of year was it?
Didn't say.
Autumn.
Is it fairy tax season?
Fairies just come and drag this man and his soul to the underground.
Freebie!
it's how mortals did the quarterly taxes.
They just bring dead bodies to hell every once in a while.
Just random princes will drop dead when wronging a fairy.
Makes the accounting hard.
Sure, it would.
If you don't know where he is to begin with.
Why do you think this fairy wanted her goddaughter to be a human siren?
Wanted her to be?
Yeah, you could just give her a nice singing voice. It doesn't need to be one that can be heard leagues away. Yeah.
Was
doesn't need to like cause noise ordinance issues for cities miles and miles around.
Was Godmother looking for scraps?
Scraps?
Yeah.
Of what?
Dudes. Oh. You just run off dudes.
Just dude scraps?
Yeah.
Did she, in that case...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is she a necromancer? And did she drag Prince Body and bring him back for her times?
What times?
I don't know. Sexy ones. Egg-laying kind.
Does she have to do that with the dead ones? I meant the alive ones that are just hanging out around the tower.
Oh, like flies?
Once she picks somebody, then, you know, then there's tons of other ones around. Surely she can...
Maybe he's not really dead. Maybe she just stunned him.
She can scoop up a couple of them to take back to her lair.
She's woven a dude web.
Because it's not like the princess is going to take... Or I guess she's not a princess. She's just a random girl. She's not going to take the time to check his pulse.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe...
She's not trained.
Yeah. So maybe this woman just, like, stunned him. Like a spider. What if she's a spider?
I mean, she did make a dude web.
It's coming together.
Yeah, so she's not a fairy, because she's never referred to as a fairy. She is fairy kin.
She knows fairies.
Yeah, she's got a magic wand, probably from a fairy. But she herself has never said fairy.
Right.
So, spider woman.
Mm-hmm.
Weaving a dude web gives this woman 7-league voice to start drawing them in.
From far and wide.
Yep. Then... uses her magic wand, like a spider uses its venom, to stun the victim, so that once the daughter is no longer in the tower, she can turn the tower into her feeding ground.
And I guess at the end of this, like the conclusion of this story, she just doesn't need her anymore.
So she gives like her
purposes were, they've been fulfilled.
Yeah, she has achieved her goal. She's laid her eggs. She's laid her eggs on the prince so they can eat him when they hatch.
Yeah, your book is a lot bigger than mine. I've noticed that I have kind of like a Cliff Notes volume.
Well.
My book's not the spider version. But I have read it.
Those are hard to find.
They are.
The spider edition.
Flipped through.
Yeah, I looked. The spider edition has a couple of appendices.
Sure.
That mine is missing. But, yeah, she does that. So she's fulfilled her purpose, and she can just give the bait away to the next hot man.
Okay.
Because hot girl and hot man have to create more food for her children.
The hotness. Ensnare.
Yeah. Because the attractiveness is a vital feature. To their feeding.
Yep.
All the fairies came.
Yes, all of them.
When she called. This is France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know a couple of those.
There are a lot of fairies there.
Yeah, there's some bad influences in that crowd.
There's some magatines and ragats in the middle of that.
We know magenta and we know ragu. Is that just a crossover? Or is that relevant?
And we know all the fairies that randomly turn people into animals, too.
Right.
Those are from France.
Also France.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of good fairies in France, even if they're said to be good fairies. And I think Spider Fairy kind of fits in with them.
Well, they're kind of self-proclaimed.
What if Ragat and Magatine are sisters and sisters to her, the two fairy sisters that are mentioned?
Well, don't we already know that those two are sisters?
That Ragat and Magatine are?
Yeah.
I don't think we know that.
I thought that was canon.
I'm not sure that that's come up.
Is that our canon? Or is that actual canon?
No, Magatine is a sister to the Sleeping Beauty fairy.
Who doesn't have a name?
She does have a name. No, the real name for her is different.
Maleficent? Disney's Maleficent.
Jolie.
Angelina Jolie.
Carabas.
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 Okay, so maybe Carabas and Magatine are the sisters to Spider Witch.
Can we come up with a pasta name for Magatine? Just for the trifecta.
Okay,
so Magatini.
I can get behind that. Do you have a substitute?
I do not. Magatini sounds good.
All right, we got Magatini, ragu, and carabas.
It's almost like the French wish they had invented something. This is how they choose to show it.
This is the secret insecurity of the French people.
Any other loose ends? I just assume that the parents had another kid.
When they started over.
No great shakes.
They're not involved anymore.
Or just screw them.
That makes sense to me.
So, yeah, parents, we know they never see her again. She marries someone rich, so she's set. Prince is dead and eaten by spider fairy eggs. We have a motivation for godmother.
The fruit.
Yeah?
Is that phase one?
Like phase one of bait?
Yeah. This whole time she seems to be drawing people towards her for some reason or another.
Spider fairy procreation is a very complicated and multifaceted setup. They don't get to breed often, but when they do, they breed powerfully.
I just imagine her hut or wherever she lives is just full of like paper on the walls of notes of like, what do people like? Fruit? Are they into fruit?
Strawberries
they
everywhere.
They like singing. Sexy girls.
I think you need to be the voice of this fairy in the animated version.
Yeah, how does that tower have like a neon sign on top?
Girls, like girls,
lady,
girls.
A lady kicking sexily. Well, I think I'm satisfied with our hole filling this time.
Yeah, I think we wrapped this one up super neat.
Feels good to me.
Put a bow on it. Well, that's going to be it for another episode of What the Folklore. Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate your continued support week after week.
Hopefully we didn't lose you last week when we went AWOL.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your support as well.
Thank you to Jenna for providing the book that provided this tale, and to Ryan for providing the book that provided a little bit more context to this tale.
You can find us on iTunes. You can find us just by searching What the Folklore. We're on a bunch of different podcast services. We didn't put ourselves there. Which kind of ended up there. Not sure how that works, but...
Yep. Don't know, but cool. You can also find us by searching Immortal Boney and scrolling past 3 DeviantArt entries. Unrelated.
Someday we'll get that we'll get coveted top slot.
Yeah, we're on our way. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, ha-dee-ha-dee-ho, tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, shall live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.